And our theme this week in our readings is choices. And all of our scriptures have been focused on making choices that would be pleasing to God and that would keep us on God's path. And our sermon text for this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, one of the readings from this week, Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And would you please stand as you're able as we hear God's word from Mark chapter 2. Jesus went out beside the lake again. The whole crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he continued along, he saw Levi, Alphaeus' son, sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Levi got up and followed him. Jesus sat down to eat at Levi's house. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciples. Indeed, many of them had become his followers. When some of the legal experts from among the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why is he eating with sinners and tax collectors?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. So I want to ask you this morning, who's going to be at your table for dinner this Thanksgiving? This year, I'm picturing the faces of people at two different Thanksgiving dinners. The first is the table where Betsy and I will have dinner with our family on Thursday. We'll be at my parents' house over in Carlisle. And each year, before we dive into the feast, we take a few minutes to give thanks for God's blessings. Four generations will be around the Thanksgiving table, each of us from my dad at age 83 to our granddaughter Lila, the 3-year-old, will have something to say about what we're thankful for. Who's going to be at your table for dinner this Thanksgiving? Now, Betsy and I will also join several of you at another Thanksgiving dinner this year. This one will take place on Wednesday evening as members of our church will serve Isaiah 61 Ministries and provide dinner for about 100 homeless people over in Harrisburg. Many of the people at these tables will have no home and no loved ones to share Thanksgiving with. And I'm so grateful for the many donations of food and personal items that you've given, like socks and gloves and deodorant and toothbrushes. And grateful for those who will cook the meal and those who will serve the meal and have fellowship with our friends who, like us, are part of God's family. Who's going to be at your Thanksgiving dinner table this year? Well, whether you have Thanksgiving in a warm house surrounded by loved ones, or you're in a downtown church with people who live on the streets, there is someone else I want you to remember who will be at your table. Jesus. Jesus is as lovingly and graciously present at every table as he was at the table at Levi's house in Capernaum long ago. This story of the call of Levi declares that Jesus came into the world to bring new life to every person. Now, once again, this morning, we've included some teaching notes for you to follow along with this message. And number one in the notes, it says, Jesus came into the world to bring new life to every person. The grace of God in Jesus Christ extends to all of us. No matter where you were born, who your parents are, your physical appearance, how many degrees you have, how much money you make, what you've accomplished in life, how old or healthy you are. Jesus welcomes you to experience new life. And here in Mark chapter 2, there is quite a cast of characters around Jesus. He came to bring new life to every character in this story. First of all, we find that he came to bring new life to strangers and acquaintances. At the beginning of this story, we read that Jesus went out beside the lake, and the whole crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. When we meet Jesus in this passage, he's in Capernaum along the Sea of Galilee, where he spent much of his earthly ministry. And everywhere he goes, Mark tells us, crowds of people are coming to him. Now just imagine being in that crowd around Jesus. Imagine being along the lake shore and hearing him teach. Imagine being there when he touches and heals those hurting people who come out to meet him. Being in that crowd with Jesus would be amazing. We can have some incredible experiences spiritually in crowds. Maybe, like me, you've had some experiences of worship in large crowds at Christian concerts or conferences, or perhaps at a Salt and Light youth event. And like other preachers, I just love crowds in church. I love the crowd on Christmas Eve when we light candles and sing Silent Night. I love the crowd on Easter morning when we pack in to celebrate the resurrection. I love the Sunday morning crowd. It's great to be in the crowd and worship Jesus. But here's the thing. Being in the crowd around Jesus is not the same thing as being in a relationship with Jesus. People in the crowds might be acquainted with who Jesus is, but they may not really know Jesus. Well, they're watching, they're listening, they're exploring perhaps, but keeping a safe distance. You can be anonymous in a crowd. You don't have to really get close. By the lake at Capernaum, the whole crowd comes to Jesus. And he's come to bring new life to them. And as the story continues, we discover some other characters Jesus came to bring new life to. People that in his time were known as the less thans. As he continued along, he saw Levi, Alphaeus' son, sitting at a kiosk. I don't like that translation. It makes me think of the mall or something. He was sitting at a desk and collecting taxes. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Levi got up and followed him. And soon Jesus was sitting down to eat at Levi's house. And many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciples. Indeed, Mark tells us, many of them had become his followers. Now Levi is the same person that we also know as Matthew, which means literally gift of Yahweh or gift of God. Tax collector, gift of God. Now, given his name, we can also assume that Levi is from the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe in Israel. Matthew's the one who wrote our Gospel of Matthew. But when we meet him here, he's not an apostle yet. He's not a gospel writer either. He is among the most despised people in all of Capernaum. When we think of tax collectors in Jesus' day, there are two words that come to mind. The first is corrupt. And they were corrupt because the tax collectors collected what the Roman government required. And then in addition to that, they would take as much as they could to line their own pockets. And they were traitors because tax collectors were Jews living in Jewish communities but serving the Romans, whom the Jews hated because they oppressed them. Isn't it astonishing that Jesus calls a man like this to be among his 12 closest followers? And isn't it astonishing that when Levi hears the call of Jesus, he immediately leaves behind his lucrative profession and follows? And soon, to celebrate his new life, Levi is throwing a dinner party to introduce all his friends to Jesus. Now, who would you expect to be at Levi's party? Would you expect to see good people there? Would you expect to see people in the community who are of good reputation, religious people perhaps? I doubt it. These are not the people that Levi knows. Mark says many tax collectors and sinners were at the party. Tax collectors and sinners is a phrase used often in the Gospels to refer to the whole group of people, like beggars and thieves, like murderers and sexually immoral people, like Gentiles, the people in this world that are viewed by the Jews as really, really bad. Now, if you were invited to Levi's party, when you walked in the door, you probably wouldn't expect to hear gospel music playing in the background. You probably would hear some loud noise, some ruckus laughter, maybe some bad language. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus is there. Jesus is fully present at the table. He's sharing food. He's engaged in conversation. He's listening. He's caring. He's enjoying the company of Levi's friends. Jesus, we find, is a friend to sinners. He enters their world. He comes to their party to offer them new life. Jesus came to bring new life to strangers and acquaintances, and Jesus came to bring new life to those considered in this world as less than others. And then there's another group of characters around Jesus here. He came to bring new life to the self-righteous. Verse 16. When some of the legal experts from among the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why is he eating with sinners and tax collectors?" Now, these legal experts from among the Pharisees, I mean, they knew the Bible. The word Pharisee literally means separated ones. And the Pharisees began as a spiritual renewal movement in Israel about 150 years before Jesus. Their movement began for a very good purpose, because they had a concern that the Jewish people were getting too mixed up with non-Jewish people and the traditions of their faith were being lost. And so the Pharisees called people back to God. The trouble was that by the time of Jesus, they had become much more like the religious police. So they show up at this dinner party at Levi's house, not because they want to hear more about Jesus, not because they're interested perhaps in becoming a follower of Jesus. They show up here to put their stamp of disapproval on what Jesus is doing. And when they ask the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" they're not really asking a question. They're making a statement. He should not be eating with tax collectors and sinners. And they ask the disciples and not Jesus directly, because Jesus is inside at the party, And they're thinking that if they go in there and touch these dirty people, then they'll be dirty too. Or maybe they didn't ask Jesus directly about his dinner companions because they were afraid that he might expose them for who they really are. And yet, here they are, within earshot of the Lord Jesus, who came into this world to bring new life to the crowds, to the sinners and tax collectors, and even to the self-righteous who thought they were better than everybody else. And then one more group here. He came to bring new life to his disciples. And we imagine the disciples in this story, what they're hearing, what they're learning in the midst of this whole scene. They see Jesus calling a tax collector to be a disciple. They see Jesus eating with people like this. And they know that their call is to become like Jesus. To follow his example in this world. When I think of being a disciple of Jesus, of taking that step out and following Jesus, I think of a short parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 13, 33. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in a bushel of wheat flour until the yeast had worked its way through all the dough." That's how it is, I think, as we're formed as disciples of Jesus. Day by day, being with Jesus, the disciples are being changed to become more like him. They are not there yet, but they're on the path. And Jesus came to bring new life to them. Now I want to ask you this morning, where do you see yourself in this story? Are you in the crowd, enjoying the music, the teaching, the fellowship with others in the crowd? Maybe you want to get closer to Jesus, but you're just not sure yet. Or are you among those tax collectors and sinners? Maybe you've been living apart from God and you've got some things in your past that you're not proud of, and yet here he is at the table with you, so full of grace and welcome. Or maybe you think of yourself sometimes as being like the Pharisees. You've been in church all your life. You know all the rules and rituals. But are you really open? Open to that new thing that God might be calling you to experience? Or maybe you see yourself among the disciples. You've made the commitment. You're on the pathway. You're listening. You're learning. You're following. And you're considering with Jesus, what is my next faithful step that you call me to? Well, wherever you are today in relation to Jesus, I invite you to hear this good news, that Jesus came to bring new life to you. Wherever we are, new life is possible for each and every one of us. And the question of this text is, will you choose Jesus? Jesus has chosen to be with you. How will you respond? There are a couple of things involved in choosing Jesus according to this story. And one of them is there at number 2 in your notes. Choosing Jesus involves repentance. When Jesus overheard the question of the religious leaders, he said to them, Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners. Now the thing is that next to Jesus, we're all sick people. We're all sinners in need of God's grace. And choosing Jesus involves recognizing our need, seeing that He can do for us what only He can do, and heal a wounded soul. Choosing Jesus also involves choosing a whole new way of life. And you remember how when Jesus called Levi and said, "Follow me," Levi got up and followed. He left behind his sinful vocation, turned from his former ways, and followed Jesus. Will you choose Jesus? And then we see that choosing Jesus also involves putting our faith into action. For Levi, this meant inviting all his friends over for dinner so they could meet Jesus. What does that look like for you, putting faith into action? Last Sunday at our mission and ministry fair, we saw firsthand so many opportunities for you and me to put faith into action through our involvement in the ministry of the church and through our mission out in the community. And then we also invited our congregation to make a financial commitment, another important way that we put our faith to work in the church and beyond. On Friday night, our youth were putting faith into action at the sleep out to raise money for the homeless. And Lisa, that close-up of you on the TV news at 11 o'clock was wonderful. And the others, too, that we saw on TV that night. It was great putting faith into action with our gifts to Operation Christmas Child, putting faith into action with our UMW thank offering, putting faith into action, a Thanksgiving dinner with neighbors in Harrisburg, putting faith into action, and breaking bread with loved ones and reflecting in doing so the love of Jesus around the Thanksgiving table. That's putting faith into action. The Apostle James writes, "In the same way, faith is dead when it does not result in faithful activity." Friends, today, the Lord Jesus is here with us, just as He will be at the table with us at Thanksgiving. He's chosen you. He wants to bring new life to you wherever you are in relation to Him. The question is, will you choose Jesus? Our choir is going to sing an anthem now, and listen to the words and open your heart to the presence of the One who loves you and who desires your companionship always. Amen.